Right. Good morning, everybody. First session for the day. How's everyone feeling? Good? There's some bright faces. That's good to see. So nobody had a really, or unless there's somebody sitting quite near the back that's got their eyes closed. welcome. Thanks for coming to the early session this morning. My name's Guy Riddle. I've got a colleague, George Dubinsky. George and I are both Dynamics CRM MVPs. So we're going to take you through this session this morning, which is around building line of business applications utilizing both the CRM application architecture and also Azure. Can I have a quick show of hands just so I can get a sense of how many people in the room are actually using CRM at all? Oh, great. Fantastic. That's encouraging. It's always nice to see. Oh, yeah, Microsoft CRM was that? Okay, good. The core of the agenda is to see how we can leverage cloud technologies to help us in delivering line of business applications. The cloud is becoming certainly a platform that gives us the ability to not so much worry about having to have our own infrastructure and gives us more capabilities. So what can we do from a line of business application perspective in terms of how we want to deliver and deploy business applications to our users? We'll also look at and talk about extending beyond our users in terms of how we can create portals for extranet, for customers or partners to be able to come in and log in securely. We'll show you some examples of doing that. We're also going to, this isn't just a PowerPoint presentation. We're actually going to be doing some live, I hope. It's always a challenge when you're doing live demos, but these days, the only point of failure can sometimes be with the local internet connection in an event like this. But we have got a plan B if we need a plan B if our internet connection fails at any point in time. We're actually going to do some demos. It's not really going to be demoing so much about this is what CRM is. It's not really a product pitch. This is more about how we're actually going to build an application that some elements of it are deployed on Azure, some is in CRM, and how we can get the two things talking to each other from three core different scenarios. Okay, so just to set the scene a little bit to make sure we're all on the same page, some of you have probably seen these slides or slides similar to this before. It's positioning around the different types of cloud computing, the public cloud, a hybrid, and a private cloud. And we might be looking at software as a service, platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, or any combination of those things, or all of them. A lot of organizations now are looking at putting everything completely in the cloud. They don't actually want to manage even any of the underlying infrastructure themselves. So when we're looking at Azure is, I'll just pull these up so you can have a look at these while I'm talking. Azure gives us the ability to have the actual operating system, or Windows Azure and SQL Azure gives us the underlying cloud platform. App Fabric gives us the ability to have the middleware connection or the layer. We have now virtual machine roles where we can run infrastructure as a service. There's data as a service, the data market that's starting to pop up where organizations are making their data services available that we can subscribe to and incorporate within our environment. So there's a lot of data markets that are popping up where we can actually consume other data points as services. Might be, you know, example might be exchange rates, where we're picking up exchange rates as part of our business application that we're subscribing to a data market service. We're also VPN. With the Azure Connect, we can also now look at extending our own network to have a virtual private network, the kind of the hybrid model. We're actually going to show you an example of this as well. And it's going to keep growing in terms of what the platform is. So life without the cloud, for some organizations, life without the cloud is basically everything. They're running everything on-premise at the moment. Some organizations are starting to take advantage of some of those layers or some of those capabilities within Azure. But the key thing is that if the IT team or the IT department, the organization's having to manage all of this in terms of hardware, OS, deployment, load balancing, scalability, and performance, and all those other things, there's little time left for the actual line of business applications. So if we've got Azure on one side that can help us with a lot or a number of all of those things, what about the application? How can we actually, capabilities do we have for actually rapidly growing and building our line of business applications to take advantage of some of these new capabilities within the Azure framework? So this is where the CRM component comes in. Now, Microsoft ship a product. It's called Dynamics CRM. But what I want to try to help you understand for those of you who are not using CRM, or for some of you who are using CRM as it comes almost out of the box to think a little bit more broadly, some of you may have heard the term that Microsoft have started to put out in not a mass marketing or a mass advertising way, but in a more sublime kind of messaging, is something called XRM. So what I want to do is just try and explain a little bit about what that actually means. So they ship a product called CRM. And part of the reason why they do that is because most people can relate to what a CRM application is. People can kind of touch it, feel it. Industry analysts can go, yeah, we know what that is. Gartner Group go, yeah, we know where that fits in the magic quadrant. Microsoft started putting out, hey, we've got this thing called XRM. Everyone's going to go, so what's that? No one else has this thing. How can we measure it? How can we equate it? How can we compare it to anything else? So CRM comes with a lot of capabilities. It is actually a rapid application development platform or framework. It incorporates the capability to do business process management. It has built-in business intelligence capabilities, and we can extend that natively using some of the SQL capabilities like analysis services and reporting services, and, of course, Excel. We can publish our BI components to SharePoint quite easily using SharePoint configuration and SharePoint dashboards. It also has Office and web-based user experiences, which means that we can actually deliver CRM fully integrated into Outlook. Users don't even know they're doing CRM. Especially now with the new 2011 version of the Outlook client, it's totally integrated as Outlook Mappy files. So it doesn't even look like it's been an add-on to Outlook. It's fully integrated. And from a web point of view, we can deliver the application purely as a browser-based application. In terms of browser-based, today, Microsoft will support any version pretty much of Internet Explorer from about 6 upwards. They have issued a statement of direction that they're going to open up to support other browsers. So for some of you who are either looking at CRM and thinking about their users within the organization, and you don't necessarily just have Internet Explorer, there is a statement of direction that has been issued that they will actually look at supporting other browsers. They haven't said exactly what the time frame for that will be, but they are looking at that. So that's there. Underlying shared infrastructure and services. Now, CRM can be either installed and implemented on-premise, or it can be a 100% cloud-based service offering. It's run out of, from a regional perspective here, it's run out of the Singapore data center, same data center that's running Azure. So it's running in the same infrastructure within the Microsoft data center in Singapore. So you can run it completely as a cloud-based offering. With the online version, it is identical to the on-premise. You're not penalized in any way. There's no loss of functionality. It's one small thing that you can't do with CRM online as it's branded, and that's to do with workflow assemblies. But you can use your own, you can put your own server-side code on for your particular organization or instance, and they provide a sandbox service, which I'll highlight in a moment. So the application can be extended. On top of this, you don't actually have to use the CRM functionality, number one. There are organizations using this platform to do all of these kinds of line of business applications, either as well as CRM for their commercial business, and they're building up other line of business applications for these kinds of things here. The second point about being able to create additional types of line of business applications with CRM is that you don't actually have to use the CRM UI. Okay? A lot of people don't recognize the fact that the portal that you get when you access the application and all the forms and all the UI components, you can actually push those to one side. You don't have to use any of them. You can create your own forms with your own style sheets because everything is actually made available to you. Anything that a user can do through the UI is available as a web service call. So you can actually create your own UIs and actually call those web services natively if you wanted to. So you can actually personalize and tailor your own user interfaces. So the other point is that in this, some organizations use some of this capability of CRM, and some don't use any CRM functionality at all. I have a customer in Sydney who's using CRM as a platform to rapidly build line of business applications, and for one of their line of business applications, they don't use customers, they don't use contacts, they don't use accounts, they don't use leads, they don't use opportunities, they don't use any of the out-of-the-box functionality at all. Their business dictates that what they're trying to do from a line of business application, they're not using CRM stuff at all. They've actually just disabled all of that functionality and they're just not using it. They're actually using it as an application platform. So XRM stands for Anything Relationship Management. So what we have as far as being able to build applications is the underlying platform architecture of CRM, I won't go through every part of this, but underlying at the very bottom is a database. CRM is a metabase driven application. So what that means is you're using, where you're declaring what you want your data schema to look like, you do it through a CRM interface or an application interface where you describe the elements of your application. You then let the application or CRM, the actual core service actually declare how it wants the database to be structured. So you're not directly modifying the underlying SQL database. You're describing what you want. It then goes and modifies the schema. The beauty about that is upgradability. If I'm not directly modifying the database, I can actually do an easy upgrade. Because what happens is you take the new version of the product, it lays down a new database footprint. It then actually reapplies your metadata changes. In other words, it extends the schema. It then reapplies all of your data, and you're effectively up and running with an upgraded version of CRM. So upgradability is very easy. Everything we have a web service layer that allows us to actually communicate with the underlying platform. And within the underlying platform is we can do anything through the web services. All the security model, all the data schema. You could even write web services to modify the schema because it's all made available to you through the web service UI as well as the web services. So we can do it through the UI or web services to actually modify the schema. From a client perspective, we have web, we have Outlook, we have mobility. And we can do reporting. So all of this is provided, and although it's the CRM application framework, we don't actually have to use all that for classical CRM. George is going to show you in a little while how we can actually extend this pipeline to actually take advantage of Azure as well, which has been built in. So CRM, I mentioned the fact that we can use a user interface to define the schema. So that doesn't mean that developers don't really get interested with the CRM architecture. There's a lot of things, a lot of features, a lot of capabilities that we need to do from a developer aspect that we need to extend or to complete our line of business application. One of the things is, I'll run through a few things here. First of all, CRM 2011 is actually built on a .NET 4 framework. It has optional choices for web services, WCF, or you can use RESTful as well, so you can choose which type of web service you want to make the call to. There's a link provider, there's an OData service, there's a capability to utilize what's called web resources. This is where if you are using the native CRM UI, you can drop web resources onto the page. So they could be a Silverlight control, it could be a picture, it could be a chart, it could be JScript. Any way we want to modify the user experience, we can drop web resources into the UI. We have actually got a hands-on lab this afternoon that actually talks about extending and extensibility of the UI. And one of those exercises in there is actually using the web resources to actually modify the UI and to put Silverlight control onto the form as well. Now, particularly for CRM Online, I mentioned that typically we don't usually touch the SQL database, and we have SQL reporting services. For CRM Online, Microsoft won't actually let you touch the database directly because they need to make sure that there's integrity and controls in place. So they won't actually allow you, if you're using CRM Online, to use SQL reporting services to actually access and run reports. You can still use BIDS, so the Business Intelligent Development Studio, to actually create reports, but the method by which you pull or retrieve data from the CRM database, if you're working online, is using a concept of Fetch XML. Now, that's fully supported from a BIDS perspective, and then the nice thing about it is you can ask the CRM platform to generate the Fetch XML for you. So you can go in a very nice point-and-click UI, using what's called Advanced Find, build your query, then you can hit a button that says generate the Fetch XML for me, and it will open it up for you. You can then copy and paste that straight into your BIDS, and you've got your query string already built for you, so it does it automatically for you. There's a sandbox service. Typically, that's built for hosted deployments where organizations, either Microsoft or a third-party hosting company, won't necessarily want you to run server-side code in an uncontrolled fashion. So there is a sandbox service where you can actually deploy your server-side code, and Microsoft use that for CRM Online. The event pipeline George is going to talk about in a moment around the capabilities of integrating CRM to Azure. And coming up, there are additional or other authentication methods. For on-premise deployments of CRM, it uses AD to verify and to authenticate users. For CRM Online, it uses today Windows Live ID. Coming later on this year, you're going to be able to federate your AD to CRM Online if you're running CRM Online so that your users can experience a single sign-on and not have to actually have a separate Windows Live ID when they're accessing your business application that's running in the Microsoft data centers. Now, this next slide I've put in is an interesting one, and it's more aimed for people who are using SharePoint as well. I often get involved in conversations, as George does, and debates around when to use SharePoint and when to use CRM for some things. You know, SharePoint's an extremely powerful and capable product. So Microsoft put this little chart together. So I can't make any claims for putting this chart together, but it's one that Microsoft put together that try to help and identify where they think the best products are best used for slightly different scenarios. So if you want very structured relational data, then the CRM or XRM platform is the best way to actually and the best place to actually define that. And so on and so forth. I won't run through all of these columns. You'll get the slides and you can have a look at them. Microsoft did actually put a white paper together as well to support this structure. So it wasn't just a diagram. There is a little white paper as well that's available. If you did a search on it, you'd be able to find it. Okay, so let's have a look at some code, yeah, George?
Okay.
So we'll do our first demo. I'll switch over. Take a second or two to cut in. Here we go.
Okay. What we did for the demo, we went online. As probably most of you know, that CRM Online is available in Australia as of CRM 2011. So we went online, we provisioned database, and that's what you get. So we thought, well, that's kind of exciting, but not very exciting because it deals with the sales, marketing, standard CRM stuff. We wanted to show something different, perhaps some other capabilities. So what we did is went to settings, Dynamics Marketplace, and more solutions, and basically you go and you look for donations, and here we are as donation management for CRM 2011. And we picked it up, installed it on a different organization, provisioned yet another one. You can provision them, okay? They cost nothing. You can try things 30 days. You can trial. You can demo. The only limit is that you will run out of your live ID useful span. I think you can provision about 20 organizations per live ID. Yeah. It's like every time you provision, you get 5 penalty points. And once you get 100, you're gone. So you can't do anything with this live ID. So, but
it's to try and avoid, spamming that people are writing services and just generating CRM instances. So they put a restriction on the fact that any single one Windows Live ID can only be associated with up to 20 CRM organizations for the online system. So if anyone out here is a Microsoft partner and you're setting up trials for a customer, don't use your own Windows Live ID, because you might find at one point in time you won't be able to use it for any organizations anymore. Okay, so there is a max out at 20 for one single live ID for the number of CRM orgs you can create. Even if the organization is retired or deprecated, you still exist in the online setup database.
So what we did, we took this solution and just imported it and applied to a fresh organization. And what we ended up with is a donation management solution. Now, it deals with things like member organizations, constituents, with programs, pledges, donations, and so on. You can rename, as most of you know, you can rename any of these if you don't like constituents and would like to call it a donor. You can certainly do that. Now, then we thought, well, what are we going to use it for? And as most of us occasionally lead unhealthy lifestyle when doing some coding or developing something, we thought that would be nice to run a program, and we just immediately create a new program within CRM. We call it Feed a Geek. We'll start it today and say we 200,000. We're really ambitious. So, mind you, this solution is more than meet the eye. It's got some plugins that roll up all the money values, so it calculates some progress value, money values for donations, and so on, so on. So, now, well, we have a program. Well, we don't have any people donating yet. So what we want to do, we want to create a website, a public website where people would pledge their donations. So let's start. So what I did, I quickly created an MVC, MVC 3 site for Azure. So I'll just start the process, but then switch to existing solution. So you'd go new project, Windows Azure project, and it would prompt you for a role. I selected that, and I said it's internet application, and it creates a website, okay? And if you run it, it displays a simple MVC 3 site that you can extend. Takes a bit of time first time, because what happens since I marked it for Azure, it initializes a local Azure storage. So, and it's coming up. And it's probably going to fail. And the reason is that utilizes SQL Express out of the box. When you generate, it points to SQL Express, which I don't have. I have a full SQL Server here, which we're not going to use anyway because we're going to, it's not a member site, so we can safely remove that code. It's going to time out and fail on that. Yes, so it's just looking for a SQL Server that doesn't exist. So the fix is actually very, very simple. I went to web.config and I removed all the references to SQL Server and all the references to a membership provider and so on, because we're not using membership just yet. So what I ended up with is a simple site. Okay, that looks like that. Nothing there yet. Just what we want to create as a next step is say if you want to donate, to start with, give us your name, email address, and we'll get back to you. We'll put you on a list, and we'll get back to you and see what we can do. So if you're interested, so that's what we're going to do. But where are we going to record it? Well, in Microsoft CRM. We want to create prospect records in Microsoft CRM, the CRM data, the instance that I showed you earlier. So let's get to it. So first of all, what I did, I created in MVC a simple model to hold first name, last name, and email address. And then basically I need to modify a layout. I'm not going to bore you with typing. I'm not a very fast typer, so I'm just going to pick. So we need to import the model into here. So, and then we'll put subscript and some form. So basically, I could have typed all the form fields manually, but MVC shortcuts do a nice job of tying the model into the form, so I don't have to do any heavy lifting once the user hits submit. So let's have a look what it looks like. I like it. Okay, so yes, we want to register as a donor. So the next step would be to take the submission and put it in CRM, as simple as that. So let's have a look where it's going to end up in CRM. Not here. That's our... No, we're looking at... the prospects, because they haven't donated anything yet, so we're just looking to record a prospect. We have some data here. They just sample data. Mind you, CRM, when you provision online, it does come with sample data. There is a nice button saying remove sample data. You can move in and out sample data. You can create your own sample data. It's a bit tedious process, but it's worth it if you develop solutions. So you can actually create your own solution and create a set of sample data for your solution. So the next step is basically go back to our controller where our code lives, and well, first of all, let's try to connect to CRM. And to do that, I use a shortcut. There is a long way to do it, where you basically set up all the attributes by hand. You point to URI. You use discovery service to find out what organizations you have access to, so on, so on. I said, now we're going to use a shortcut. And the shortcut works like that. You define a connection string. The connection string is basically defines your URL, your username and password. Yeah, okay. If you don't want to put it, you can build it on the fly. You can prompt if you want to. But remember, this is a site which will be running, so it needs an account to connect to CRM. So it will be your service account here. And then to connect to CRM online, you do need device ID and device password, which you can generate. There is a tool in SDK that helps you to generate device ID and device password. Then after that, it becomes a simple line of code, just get a connection. Once you get a connection, you can get organizational service. It's basically connection you connect into a front of CRM, if you will. Organizational service, that's the heart of CRM. This is the service that web interface, the CRM interface, and Guy mentioned that, you can do anything that they do through UI. That's because CRM UI talks to this organizational service at the back end, and this service is available to you. So what we want to do is, first of all, let's check if we can connect. And I'm doing it by utilizing a nice who am I request, which basically returns a user ID. It's not happy about namespaces, but it returns information about your business unit, the organization ID, and that's pretty much it. The REST extension data response name, they are either blank or of no use. But that's sufficient, because the next thing we want to do is we want to use link to extract current username. And that would actually prove that we can connect to CRM. So what we're doing here is we create a query against the entity called system user. We get an attribute, system user ID, and we compare it to the who am I, which is my current user ID. And then we select this record, and from the user record, what we want to do is we want to get a attribute called full name. Now, some of you may ask, well, what is this stuff with the quotes and create query? Couldn't you just write something like this? Say you would write context dot system users single, then say user, not uint, user, where user system user ID equal who am I user ID. And some of you may have written something like that. Okay? And then from here you would say, oh, full name. Yes, you would do that if you generated strong data types. So no longer CRM libraries in 2011, for those of you who know four. There were SDK data types, the library containing all the built-in data types like account, context, and so on. It's no longer there, just simple as that. So you either deal with the dynamic entities, you deal with entities by hand, that is, you address them by strings, by explicit names, and you deal with dynamic entity, or you run a utility, you generate, off the top of my head, about 1.5 megabyte C# file, and then it becomes available to you, all the built-in entities. So there are two modes to develop. Say, I primarily develop ISV type code. I don't know what's the next deployment is going to be. I like to deal in a more abstract way, not to rely on any specific schema. If you're working in enterprise and you're working on a large project, it's usually beneficial to generate your code and deal with strong data types and IntelliSense, especially if you have a team of developers. So either way is valid. Here, I just don't want to generate against the CRM online. That will take some time to generate all the classes. So I'm just dealing with the dynamic entities. Okay, let's see if that can connect. So we're just connecting and extracting who the current user is, and we put it in... It will take a bit of time because we are talking now to CRM online and we are extracting some information. And here we are. He was the one who provisioned that, and I'm running as his account. So it works. Okay, now let's put some stuff in. So we did create the form. So all we need to do now is, well, when I'll just walk through this code. So very simple code. So when post happens with the post action happens on index, this is the page we're looking at, then we want to connect again. Mind you, some of you may ask, wouldn't you cache these? Yes and no. They are cheap operations. They are cached internally by the libraries. So unless you specifically say in configuration that I don't want them cached, I want separate connections every time, this is just fine. It's very fast. So if submission is fine, what we're doing, we're creating a new CRM entity called lead. Probably you notice it's called prospects. It's labeled prospects in CRM. First name, last name, address, subject of the lead. I was saying potential donor from the website because it could be from a phone call, could be from a business card, something else. We create, we push the changes. Create just queues up the changes and save. And we say, we return and say, thanks. I created a single view, it says thank you. It's a very simple view. It just says, thank you, we'll be in touch. Let's see if that works. So remember, I'm running locally and talking to CRM online. Well, whilst it's building up and doing that, I have to say that I'm actually not running locally. In fact, I'm using a hybrid cloud because this machine, it's a virtual machine that runs, I don't even know where it is, but it's run by Microsoft and provisioned for me, and they were generous in giving me something like 10 gig of RAM, and that's it. I don't know where is it. I just know the address to connect to. I'll be the first. Oh, that was fast. Let's see if anything ended up in CRM. So we'll just refresh. Here I am. And that's CRM online. Okay. So that works. Let's see if we can push it to Azure. To keep the long story short, what you need to do is the rest is kind of mechanical. You just package it. Package is ready. Then you go to Azure. You do need to have in Azure your hosted service. And it's a bit, okay, that would look a bit better. I already pushed the instance, so I would create, for this one, new hosted service, feed a gig 2, feed gig 2. Now don't deploy. And OK. And then basically I push the package, what I just created, I push the package to production. You might need to do a couple extra bits. I'm not going to walk through them because latest builds use Windows Identity. There are documented issues. You need to register manually Windows Identity in your Azure deployment. It's certainly doable. It's not happy about something. It says where you want to sit. I say, well, Southeast Asia is fine. Okay, and it started creating. I already have a production deployment, one instance and one role. So, and it looks like if we go into the website, and the website would be feedergig.cloudapp.net. Okay, and Guy, I'm nominating you as a second donor. And now we're running in Azure. Okay, let's go and have a look. Now, here we are. So both of my website and my CRM are now running in Azure. And I could have had website running locally, website running in Azure, CRM locally, CRM in Azure, you name it. Well, that's the first part. That's basically how easy it is to communicate, say, from Azure to your CRM. So using just using CRM, standard CRM web services. Costs you basically very little, very reliable. So. Shall we do the second one as well, or you want to?
Yeah, I'll do the. I'll just do a quick intro of it.
The one with the endpoint.
No.
I think. Okay, you want to.
Okay, so that's. Do you want to do that one with the endpoint quickly?
Yeah, I'll do
endpoint. Okay, I'll introduce
because it's
this
really
piece,
nice.
And then you can do
okay.
can do that.
Okay. Now, what I want to do? Can we flick back, please? The second part is quite interesting and very exciting. So I'll just walk you through the whole process, virtually end to end. What I want to do, let's say our FeedAGig program accepts donations, and we're putting donations into our CRM, and it runs in CRM Online. So we use CRM Online, we're pushing there. But let's say our accounting system is on-premises. They wouldn't put it up there, don't ask, just it's on-premises. Now, and we want to push donations to our accounting system. Yes, we can run reports, yes, we can export to Excel spreadsheet, you name it. But we want to do it right there, right now. The moment the donation hits the database, we want to take it. And there is some of you know that there is a plugin model which allows you to extend CRM pipeline and basically grab the data. So how do you do that? So basically now we're sitting behind the firewall on premises, and we want to know when plugin fires in CRM Online. How does that work? Well, that's where Azure Service Bus comes into play. And effectively, I'll show you the single picture. Basically, you define an Azure Service Bus endpoint in Windows Azure. Then, behind your firewall, all you need to have is a port 443 open, outside, outbound, not coming in, outbound. And you start listening. CRM allows you to define a plugin which will push execution context. Whatever comes into a plugin, it will push it down to that endpoint as well. And your listener will get notification. How cool is that? You're sitting behind the firewall, CRM online fires, and you get the full execution context. Well, there's no free lunch. It's only asynchronous. You can't push it synchronously. But it can be two ways. It can be queued. You don't have to run listener. It can be just a queue. It will time out eventually, but it gives you a chance, say, to restart listeners. It can be two-way. You can return data. It can use rest points. But let's just walk through. What I want to do is I want to go to my CRM. I go to settings, solutions. Of course, all this setup involves certificates. You want it to be secure. You don't want anyone talking to that endpoint. So basically, you need to register your CRM as an issuer to that service bus point, and you want to register your listener. So here's, mind you, the donation management, and it's managed, managed solution that we plonked into our CRM to make it do donations rather than sales. So we're going to developers' resources, and this is what we want. We want to download certificate, and we want to remember that it's crm5.dynamics.com, the certificate issuer. You would get, if it's on premises, the same stuff happens. You just need to do your own certificate. It can be self-issued. So you then export certificate and use it. CRM Online obviously provides certificate for you. I already downloaded it earlier. So after that, what we do is we close this solution. And we start a plugin registration tool that comes with SDK. Whilst it's starting, the one endpoint, we will need this endpoint. I'll just want that. Thank you very much. Oh, here we go. So I already created. Let's connect. It prompts me for credentials. I and George for the win. So now I'm just running reg tool against the online instances. Okay, I've got two organizations. I'm interested in charity. So now what I want to do is now to register a plugin, but very special one, which doesn't involve any code on my side. All I'm saying, this is plugin, please talk to this endpoint. Whilst it's doing that, we actually need the endpoint, right? The Azure Service Bus. So in Azure, we go into Service Bus. I already have the endpoint, so I'll create another one. And I allow 5 connections. So it's activating. In the meantime, we'll switch here. I already registered one of them earlier, just in case if something goes wrong, we can always say. And we'll say another listener. So what I want is to notify when money received. Service. This is you define the namespace. Solution namespace, that would be feed a gig 2. And let's see if it's provisioned. It's provisioned. So now that's a tedious part. It used to be very, very tedious. I'm just creating all these certificates and pushing, registering things around. So I need a management key that comes from here. Come on. Sometimes you do need to refresh. Here we go. I need one of these. I need CRM certificate. And issuer name, and it was crm5.dynamics.com. It will issue the tokens, exchanges tokens, rules, creates rules, and so forth, so forth. You can do it. There is a tool called ACM with the service bus, comes with service bus. You can do it by hand, but it's always nice when you can do it like that. Okay, so it's configured. Let's verify authentication. Whilst it's doing that, let's go and fire up the plugin listener. Okay. What we have is a piece of code, which basically, it's a boilerplate code, kind of nothing to see here. It's always standard. We need to say who the issuer is, what the key is, what the URI is, endpoints, and so forth. We connect and start listening. And the key line is this one. We implement iService endpoint plugin. And we get remote execution context, which is CRM context. So you see, we actually link into Microsoft XRM SDK. So we are getting CRM data. And we just dump in here whatever we receive from the endpoint. That's all we want to do. So now we'll have to put the keys here. I already put them in. This one is fine. So we'll just save that. Come on. Now all we need to do is now register a step. And we'll say message is create. And donation. So when donation record is created, and that's pretty much it. We want to know about it. We're done on CRM side. So CRM now will push the execution context to through the service bus. It will push it. It will push it. It's registered. It will push it to the other side. So let's run the listener. All the listener does, it connects and starts listening. It's connecting, it's trying to connect. Okay, now it's ready. Remember, I'm running it locally, well, kind of locally, in the private cloud here. Now I'm switching to CRM Online, and I'm saying we want to do some donations. So the code is not very sophisticated. On our listener part, we just want to know, can we get the data? And the answer, we'll know the answer in a second. So we put in $2,000. And you see, the system supports anonymous donations. You don't know who donated. You're just recording the fact. So we don't know who donated. Save and close. One, and two, and three, and four, and five, and six. Ta-da! And here you go. It dumped everything, all the attributes, everything. Execution context, business unit ID, who the owner is, who the user was, all the attributes. Here's your $2,000. Right here. We don't know who donated, But we've got the amount, we've got the data types, we've got everything. So basically now you're sitting on premises, you get an execution context, you've got all the data, you can do whatever you want. And you're sitting behind firewall. So that's actually quite an achievement. And your CRM can be behind firewall talking through service bus. All they need is 443 outbound. So it will be easier for you to talk to your network guys and tell them, look, all I want is browse HTTPS. That's all you want. So, okay, over to you.
Okay, right. Thank you. Right. So we can we can take information into CRM and from an Azure website, and we can actually push information back out. We can actually, there is actually the ability for us to write information directly back to SQL Azure if we want to as well through that plug-in capability, as well as utilizing the listener. There are some websites that are running on a combination of CRM and Azure. I'm just going to pick out one for a second, if this will come up for me. Sorry, I'm just in the PowerPoint. Is there a toggle to switch windows on here? Is there a toggle to switch the windows on here?
No. Yeah, Control P.
Oh,
you
right.
Got,
okay.
Duplicate.
Okay.
You want to use mine and browse here?
No, that's all right. Because I've already got the pages open.
Over to the next window.
Okay. All right. I didn't know whether you were doing that. Okay.
Did you? No, you did.
Here we go. Yeah, I'll just drag it over. I thought it was on automatic sync up. Okay, so I want to highlight one site for a second because it's going to lead into the next piece. This, for those of you who are interested in more information and more developing around CRM or the XRM platform and with Azure as well, there's a website. It's called XRM Virtual. They do events. Most of them are actually recorded. So if you go into the events section here, you can go through and scroll all the way down and actually go back on some of the previous events that have been done. Some of it's on implementing claims. Some of it's on Azure and CRM. Some of them are CRM-based topics, and some of them are Azure-based topics. The key point about highlighting this is, one, this is a good thing to subscribe to. The interesting thing is, this is actually running, this website is actually running on Azure. And when you go up here to sign in, and I won't actually go through the whole sign-in process just now, I'm going to do that on another example. This is actually will log you into and verify your credentials in a back-end CRM instance. So when you actually register on this site, you'll go through a registration process. Your information will get stored in a back-end CRM system. So what this is effectively, yes, it's a public website and there's content on here. Sitting underneath this is a content management system. This content management system is actually sitting inside CRM. The guys who created this have actually worked with Microsoft to make this technology available to you. So if I just go back to... I've lost the mouse now.
Windows P.
Yep. I'm going to do duplicate, it's easier. Okay, so that site. Okay, so let's just go back to the slides for a second. So the point there is that This portal concept, a lot of people want to actually integrate their website and a back-end database engine. Some people use a content management system, and the data of people registering sits, to a degree, isolated in the CMS system. What this kind of capability is allowing you to do is, rather than the people subscribing and registering for your website sitting in the database of a CMS system, you can actually pull that information into the CRM system, and then you can actually have other business processes and business rules around it. Which was the example that George was showing you, rather than just somebody registering and that information sitting isolated in the CMS system, it was going into CRM. There might be workflow rules, there might be business rules. We're now tying donations. We're now looking at how many donations a particular person has made over time. We now might want to do outbound marketing on that person because we've got a new project or new promotion that we want to do. We want to do outbound marketing to prior people who have donated. So you get the whole context. So what this is that website XRM Virtual is a front-end portal, basically to a Microsoft CRM database. That's actually a free, available download for you, and it's available in the marketplace. George showed you; he did a search in the marketplace for donation. If you search for portal, you can download it. Here it is, here in the marketplace. It's the customer portal for Microsoft Dynamics CRM. There's also another one, which is a partner portal, which has some extra functionality in it. And what this allows you to do is basically go through the process of actually integrating your CRM instance. I'm just going to demo it here quickly.
Okay,
so here I've got a back-end CRM system. There's a content management capability here. So when I install the portal, it extends CRM to create this extra area called content management. I can actually dynamically control the content on the web page from within side here. So you don't have to have a separate tool or utility to manage the website necessarily. You can still obviously skin the pages however you want to. And you can see I've got the portal here. So, you know, all the definition about the portal is stored within CRM. All the pages are identified in here and what they're called. So effectively all the content is actually being managed directly from within CRM. So you can actually use CRM as a CMS as well if you wanted to utilize that. So let me just close out of this. So what this is doing is when I go to my website now, this is my public-facing website, and this is running on Azure as well. So this is kind of a bit more broader than the demo that George did on Feed a Geek, but this is using the exact download that you use for CRM. And when I go to sign in, when it wakes up, the nice thing about this is that when I go to log in, I don't have to worry about the user credentials and authentication. I can actually say, just use Windows Live ID. So I don't have to worry about my customers forgetting their user ID or password. I can let them manage it themselves. We'll talk about ACS in a second, quickly. So what this is doing now is passing in that Windows Live ID, is verifying it against the contact record in CRM that has been acknowledged as having portal access. And now, when I'm inside here, I'll just close that down, I can do various things inside here. So I can go, I want to manage my account. And this is all on the same concepts that George showed you in the demo. I'm just extending it out here. So this is linking up the ability to directly access my CRM information. So at the top there, my account information, so who my company information is. And down the bottom is my contact details. So if I want to go and modify my contact details, you know, I can go and I can just go and update my details. I can say, okay, look, don't.
Oops. Close the window up. The edit window.
I can actually go and uncheck any of these, and then I can update my account. And what this is now doing is this is now talking back to CRM. So it's saying my profile's been updated successfully. But instead of just doing a simple website that George did, say, passing a lead or passing an information, a one-way street, this is now saying, okay, what I want to now do is I have a problem. I need to register a problem or a support incident with you. So those kinds of things here, I can do from here. So I can look at my past ones, I can look at my active ones, my closed ones, and we can control which users can do what on the system, so whether they can create new ones. We might want to publish the knowledge base. CRM does have a knowledge base, so we might want to punch up information out so people can do that self-service capability. I might be running events. So what I want to do on the event calendar is I actually want to pull up events out of the CRM system. So what this is doing is giving you the ability to have your extranet portal directly talking to and working with your underlining XRM or your application underneath. And this portal with, obviously this has been skinned for this, you know, demo called Contozo, but you can actually change the skins, you know, as you need them. But all the talking, all the capability, all the authentication is actually done for you. And as I say, that's an availability as effectively a download. For ACS, have you got one configured?
No, but I want to piggyback on the portals, 2 minutes.
Okay.
So
one of the things, just while we switch, no, wrong one.
No.
So one of the things is now coming is that with ACS 2 on Azure, if you want to start.
Yep. Basically, I'm looking at the same portal with the source code. So it just runs on my machine with the source code. And authentication is changed to Active Directory. So it assumes that, say, portal is public, and you can log on using your Active Directory. So it would pass to CRM your Active Directory credentials and authenticate you against CRM using Active Directory. And I thought quickly, hold on, what about if I'm running it as intranet? Can I actually, I know who the user is. So what happens next is what I did is tiny changes. I went to here and said Windows. We don't need that. We do want to impersonate to know who the user is. The only other change I did is that the code assumed that the user returned is a contact. Now, that works if user is explicitly authenticated. When it's implicit, it doesn't work. So what I did is I just did the simple code that looks up user by name. We know who the current Windows identity. We know current Windows identity. So I'll just hook it up by name. Okay. And here I'm using strong types. So I said, system user, give me a single one where domain name equal current Windows get current name. And then I look up the context where contact is associated through this attribute with the system user ID of the current user. That's actually the only change that I did. And so that was, that's actually the site. Yes, that's the site. So now I go to cases, and now I'm actually linked to a CRM user, and I can open new case here. It didn't prompt me to authenticate. Well, big deal, you say. But the next step would be, and we're a bit short on time on showing it, and it's a bit involved process, but there is a new concept called Azure Connect. Anyone using it or try to use it or know what it is? No? Basically, it allows you to take your Azure instance and bring it and make a member of your domain. Okay? So basically, you will have an absolute mix of cloud services and your domain. So basically, you will have, you can use Azure as a platform, but bring it as a member of your domain. So I could take this portal, publish it in Azure, and bring this Azure instance as member of my domain and let people use it. So I don't have to run web services. I don't have to do anything. Azure will manage it for me. It will sit in the cloud. So that's where the power comes in. It's a new one. It's in beta now. You can register for Azure Connect. It's a bit involved process to define the groups and connect things. Obviously, security is very important, so you will deal with certificates and endpoints and so on and so on. But the capabilities are endless. It's another mix of private cloud and public cloud.
Yeah. Okay. Over. So as you've seen, so you can configure your portal if you want to use Windows Live ID. That's there right now to be able to download and install and configure it. You can use authenticated users. And with the ACS 2, so you can have your customers, your partners log in using their Facebook account, Twitter, Gmail, utilizing ACS 2, there's going to be an upgrade to that portal available imminently that will allow you to actually do that. So instead of just purely being Windows Live ID, you can actually allow for other authentication methods as well. As far as resources are concerned, I mentioned about the XRM virtual website. It's good to sign up to that. You'll get information, and obviously it'll pass you to sort of various resources. For those of you who are looking at from a developer point of view and understanding more, there is a CRM 2011 training kit. If you search for that text, it's also linked obviously in the slides when you get them, you can actually download the developer kit. It's got about a dozen like hands-on labs inside it that will take you through doing all sorts of capabilities, whether it's extending the UI, creating dialogues. I think it has actually got an example of the Azure integration in it as well from memory. There's also a Windows Azure training kit. There's some white papers, building business applications with CRM. For those of
don't
you who
forget,
actually using
SDK. SDK, it's number one. It should have been there.
The CRM SDK as well. There was just an update to that last, beginning of this week, was a new update to the SDK. Okay, so we're done on time. So, as always with these sessions, you have the opportunity to win. This time, it's one of those sort of Air Touch mouses, which are very nice. So, thank you very much for your time this morning. George and I will be around if you want to ask us any questions. As I mentioned, there is some hands-on labs available downstairs for CRM if you want to go and sit and do some. One's on dialogues, one's on setting up some of the Windows Azure credentials and capabilities. And then there's one this afternoon on the user extensibility, so using web resources and things as well. So thank you very much for your time, and enjoy the rest of your day and the conference. Thank you.
Thank you.